The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast, explaining the news coming out of the complex worlds of finance, economics, and politics, and the impact it will have on everyday Americans. Author, investment banker, consumer advocate, analyst, and trader, Chris Markowski.
Okay, welcome everyone. Great to be back. You know, I only missed one day on Friday, and we'll get into my Fox Business appearance because it's getting quite the feedback, which is great from the program. We'll get into that today, but I want to talk about three things that, again, I allude to. We've talked about on many occasions over the years. It's kind of almost my reason for being, trying to help people out to avoid pitfalls and nonsense. It's a phrase, you want to call it hype cycle. Hype cycle, does that sound familiar to you? Well, Andy Kessler actually used it today in a column. It's basically a hype cycle. It's just a period of time where certain securities, certain area of the market gets just so hyped up and driven into a frenzy. And I've written columns about this over the years. I wrote back in the 1990s, again, it was my first started doing a lot of writing back then. It was Icarus in the stock market. Simple Greek myth about flying too close to the sun. And I've seen this happen on many occasions throughout my career. These hype cycles where everyone wants to get in. Everyone thinks that there's going to be some sort of new way, shortcut, magical money machine, whatever you want to call it. Which again, leads us to the next thing. Greater fools. Greater fools is a phrase, was a columnist for MSNBC, NBC back in the 1990s. His name was Christopher Byron. He did some great work on, well, just Wall Street and the investment climate and ripoffs and scams. And he was a good one. And he had this, basically, it's the greater fools. Who is going to be the greater fool? And I described the whole greater fool philosophy. It's a perverse game of musical chairs, if you will, is where, you know, you the last person standing, you're out. And in my opinion, that's no way to invest. You don't want to be the greater fool. Then, of course, Donald Luskin's phrase from the 90s as well, the conspiracy to keep people poor and stupid. And these are things that we've discussed, we've talked about, I battled against over the years here, podcast, radio show appearances, you name it. Whether it be Jordan Belfort from Stratton Oakmont or whether it be some of the private equity companies as of late, it's the same game. It's the same game. They pump something up to a ridiculous valuation, and they look to dump it. And Kessler, in his piece today in the Wall Street Journal, he kind of went easy on private equity. He did. And listen, there's good ones, and there's bad ones. But if you're investing in companies that are backed by private equity into a hype cycle, you need to know that they don't care about you at all. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. Their job in a hype cycle is to do that. Hype it up. Hype it up. Get the valuation of that company that they backed to the stratosphere. Take the company public. Deal with the holdout period for about 6 months and get out. Get out. Wash your hands of the thing. That's what they want to do. They may tell you otherwise, but they're not. It wasn't about that. You look at all of these companies. It was grow, 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 grow. No thought whatsoever what the consequences might be. No thought whatsoever about, what is the actual size of this market? Yeah, we spent time this past weekend on the radio show talking about this at great length. And I'm going to reiterate here, people, three ways to make money. on Wall Street. Three ways to make money on Wall Street. Either you are, you know, you're a flow guy. You're a flow guy where you're just all about the transactions. Again, high frequency, playing the middleman in these transactions. And again, the amount of transactions that take place. You talk a penny here, penny there. It adds up. Just ask the folks. So okay, Ken Griffin, one of the wealthiest guys in the country. That's what they do at Citadel. That's one way. That's one way of making money on Wall Street. Another way of making money on Wall Street is this game. Hype cycles, pump and dumps, finding a greater fool, in essence, ripping people off. Sometimes legal, sometimes illegal. I mean, again, we want to go back to, you know, pumping up mortgage-backed securities, knowing that they were going to collapse, betting that they were going to go down. Is it ethical? No. No, I could never do anything like that. I could never do anything these private equity guys do. I know, you make that type of money, the type of money that they're swimming in, you know, after these deals, I guess it probably works as some sort of, narcotic to their conscience. But in good conscience, I understand free market, but the free market, I'm an Adam Smith capitalist. Two people sitting down at a table, both can walk away happy from a transaction. You do not need to get over on people to make money in life. And a large swath of Wall Street is that. And, you know, again, bringing to the third way of making money on Wall Street, which is, again, you know, work, time, and effort. Work, time, and effort. And again, like I said, not everybody was interested in work, time, and effort. They want it here. They want it now. And again, I've mentioned this on plenty of occasion. You come over to Markowski Investments, become a client of ours. Guess what? I'm not going to get you rich quick. No, it's not going to happen. We're going to build wealth over time. We're going to basically understand compounding, the royal road to riches, understanding valuations. We're not looking for shortcuts here. Okay, you hear me on this program. There's nothing inherently sexy about what we talk about here on the program. In essence, most of the financial planning advice that I give is quite boring. But it's supposed to be. It works. It works. Anyway, more on FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried. Wasn't even trying to manage risks. Three Arrows Capital, another crypto company. They're trying to sell off their yacht, $50 million yacht. Alameda's CEO or a former SBF girlfriend spotted in New York City in Soho this past weekend. I'm getting coffee. Some are speculating that she's going to flip. I don't know. I don't know. But again, guys like this, and I'm telling you right now, the whole thing is a freaking act. Everything that's taking place right now is an act. Yeah, it is. Do you remember, it was great movie. It wasn't that long ago, if you actually think about it. We're talking 2008. Yeah, 2007. Maybe it was even later than that. I don't know. I'm trying to get my bearings. No, it was. It was. It was. You had all, just a cast. Yeah, Tom Cruise was in it. Matthew McConaughey had a piece in it. Jack Black. It was a myriad of great cast members in it. Robert Downey Jr. It was called Tropic Thunder. And it was, I thought it was hilarious. They could never make it today. Never make that movie today in just a few short years because, again, the woke people would just freak out. Anyway, there was a character that was played in that movie, and get into it, mentally retarded. It is what it is, but it was happy Jack. And that was part of the grift in the movie, played a character. It was an actor playing this character. And it was, there was the two had too many mental deficiencies. So it wasn't like Forrest Gump. And again, get into it. But again, that's what they're calling it right now. It's the Happy Jack defense that Sam Bankman-Fried is pulling off. It is. Wait, you think that he's that stupid? This is totally calculated. This BS that they keep pushing, hey, he's doing this. You know, lawyers don't advise this. Both of his parents are lawyers. Elon Musk this past weekend is estimating that he gave $1 billion to Democrats. Maxine Waters just came out and praised him for being so open about everything and being willing to get in front of Congress. This guy lost people billions. Millions are out of their money. And again, I said it here on the program, okay? Stupid is as stupid does. You didn't look into this, shame on you. And you get some of these stars on CNBC. Kevin Leary, I lost respect for the guy. You don't look into this. Guy's got no board. He's got no controls whatsoever. And you put millions of dollars into this thing. What's wrong with you? There's about 1,000 red flags all at once, unless he was probably trying to get in on the hype cycle and trying to get in and trying to get out, which happens often. Anyway, it's a racket. It's a scam. And I bet you he gets off. Bet you his parents, his father is buddies with Elizabeth Warren and helps her write tax laws. His mother is a huge bundler for the Democrat Party. They're both professors. How this guy, I mean, they haven't even brought him in. It's just how inept this is. But again, we're talking about this gray area here. SEC can't do anything. Commodities board can't do anything either. Not regulated. I don't know. Federal Trade Commission, possibly. I don't know. I don't think anything is going to happen. And now you're hearing calls out there. We need to regulate this, and we need to regulate this now. No, I'll say it again. I don't want to spend a dime. I don't want any of my tax dollars going to police this BS. I don't. Like I said, real simple. It's Wild West. Okay, you want to get involved in this? You want to go out there on a limb and get involved with this? God bless you. Have at it. I don't want to police it. Don't. Anyway. Moving on. Bunch of business stories. And again, this kind of going back to my appearance on Fox last Friday, I made a call on the program. We were talking about, they're getting all up in arms. You know, Tim Cook was meeting with lawmakers in Washington, D.C., in particular, Republican lawmakers, new Congress coming in. And one of the Fox News reporters tried to pin him down on a myriad of things when it came to China. And he wouldn't answer it. And that entire clip went viral. You know, after the fact, you know, he did meet with Jim Jordan. He met with many Republicans, and they seemed pretty happy with what he had to say. There's been information going out saying that they purposely dropped an airdrop feature because China didn't want it. The other side of the story said they did it everywhere because there was a security concern. And again, my point was, again, feedback from this, my appearance on Friday, my point was this. I said, Tim Cook is the CEO of one of the, would I have to say, one of the world's most, what I call it, most important companies. I can't put it up there. Maybe say important. Let's just say it's a pretty consequential company. Got a lot of employees, many stores, many products, all of these things. And we got Christmas coming up. I'm just asking you to put yourself in the position of Tim Cook. okay? His job, first and foremost, is to do the right thing by the company's shareholders. He has a fiduciary responsibility to his shareholders. Again, people ask, why, hey, Markowski Investments, why don't you guys go public? No freaking way. There's three shareholders in my company. That's it. My brothers and I. I like it that way. I'm going to keep it that way. I have a problem when professional services decide to go public. That's a problem we have now. Your big brokerage firms out there, they're also managing people's money, and they say they're going to put their clients' interests first, but the reality is the company, by law, has to put what? Their shareholders' interests first. So that doesn't align with a professional service. Anyway, neither here nor there. Tim Cook gets, you know, phone call from some of the bigwigs in China and says, either you do this now or we're just going to stop manufacturing of all these products that you need to get to stores and need to get out for Christmas. What do you do? What do you do? I've been talking, and I said it before they even made the announcement on Friday. I said, you're going to see more and more companies are, all of a sudden they're having their come to Jesus moment when it comes to China, and they're moving their supply chains. Apple came out. We're getting out of here. They're getting out. They're moving more of their production, Vietnam, India, other places. They've had enough. China's is in deep doo-doo right now. They are. Their economy is softening. They got major real estate issues. People are pushing back. Problematic over there. And more companies are starting to see it. It was a miscalculation by our wizards of smart in Washington, D.C. They automatically assume that, hey, we'll just let them do what they want, no repercussions, World Trade Organization, cut them all sorts of sweetheart deals. Again, they got pressure too. These politicians get pressured by big business who says, gee whiz, boy, we'd love to have slave labor over in China. That would be great. And what do they do? And where are we now? Change in leadership there. I mean, they used to call it communist China. I was like, it's not communist. How is this communist? They got Ferrari dealerships in China. It's not really communist. It's authoritarian. But when you're that type of a country, that type of authoritarian presence, it can turn on a dime. And that's what it's done. I mean, Xi Jinping, well, writing was on the wall with this guy for a period of time, but it's gotten bad. And again, I'm glad to see it. Companies are going to start to move. There's a story I want to hit on today as well. I think Joe Biden is visiting the Taiwan semiconductor plant in Arizona. That's, I guess, starting to go online right now. Interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal talking about this and the issues with putting up plants here in the United States and the costs that are involved with this. Taiwan Semiconductor's made that perfectly clear. It costs us a hell of a lot more money to operate in the United States than it does back in Taiwan. And there's a myriad of reasons behind that. Again, we are a better place than Europe. Obviously, we talked about the cost of energy, but we need to do more to bring prices down here and costs down. And one of the things that they're talking about is just find workers here. They can't find the engineers. And the ones that they do find, they actually send them to Taiwan for a period of time to train there. And they're now convincing Taiwanese to move to Arizona, giving them big bonuses to run these places. Yeah, this is just complete lack of planning. Yeah, you've got high paying jobs that could be made available. You know, why are we not training kids to do these things? Why? And the funny thing is, you could set it up where you could do it outside of a college environment. It could be a vocational type of an issue. Get the company involved in the education and training. Now, again, engineering is, you know, certain aspects there. Obviously, you need a higher degree level. That's not something that's easy. But we should be doing more of this, not less. which means we got to go back and focus on the basics in schools when they're younger. Enough with this diversity bullshit and all this other crap. Spend more time on math and science and things that are important. Just popped into my head. Another one of my sub-references. Christopher Walken playing the angel Gabriel and in the movie The Prophecy. And I remember he was there in front of a bunch of school children. He's, study your math, kids. It's the key to the universe. Anyway, column about China. I got a kick out of it. Title of the column is Why China Sucks. It's a beta test for the New World Order. Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Much of the left, even this country, I mean, I'm talking the Thomas Friedmans, the big New York Times columnists out there, all just China is the future. You know, the New York Times, pop my head, you know, New York Times basically said the same thing about the Soviet Union. What was the name of the reporter? It'll come to my mind. But, you know, I've seen the future, and the future is the Soviet Union. This is the same crap that these New York Times types and leftists are saying about China. Yeah. Well, again, they talk about it being a beta test. It was. Seeing if they could roll this out around the country. And man, we tried, right? We tried here in the United States, shutting down schools, mask requirements. You know, got to leave the restaurant by 10 o'clock at night or you're going to get COVID. I mean, just one bit of authoritarian bullshit. And the column was, it's kind of a conspiratorial thing, but if you think about it, it's almost like that they were testing us. How much are people willing to stand and then push back? Certain people out there, they want this back. They want it back. I couldn't believe. Friday, I went from Fox to the airport to North Carolina and then back last night. I couldn't believe the amount of people that are still masked up, double masked up. I mean, these are not even people that are elderly. I mean, you've created I don't know. It's like a religion. Maybe it's them. It's almost kind of like wearing a crucifix to some degree for some of these leftists. I don't know. You know, you got that can be part of the religion. I think, you know, abortion is one of their sacraments, you know, a myriad of things that they just love. But yeah, I remember Thomas Friedman, New York Times, he was doing an interview and he was lamenting the fact that he, you know, was coming back from China. He was visiting China and, saw how, you know, he was upset, you know, had bad Wi-Fi here in the United States on the subway, and Newark Airport is a mess. And I know Newark Airport is a mess. But anyway, neither here nor there. You know, he basically, imagine if Obama had the type of power that the leadership in China had. Imagine what we could get done here in this country. Have we made fun of that on time? I said, just wait, you schmuck. You think centralized control over an economy works? How's it working out over there for them right now? As soon as they started pushing back against the free market, whether it be in technology, whether it be subsidizing real estate, whatever it may be, everything started to really crack. And it's not getting any better. It's not getting any better, but anyway, rail strike. So another topic on Fox that we talked about. Again, I mentioned this last week on the program. This is one I'm having a real difficult time with. And let me tell you where I fell on this. First and foremost, I don't think the government should be involved in labor negotiations. I don't think it's their place to do this. I don't believe that that's something that they should do. With that being said, I also don't believe that I shouldn't be allowed, like I am right now, I don't have a carry permit for New York. I got a carry. I have my carry permit from Florida, but I don't have a carry permit from New York. I don't agree with the fact that they won't let me. It's taken forever and 10 days for me to get a permit, and they're making it next to impossible. I don't agree with that. But guess what? It's the law. I don't like it, but it's the law of the land. It's where I live. And you've got this, the 1924, 1927, you know, Railroad Act. It's the law. What Congress is doing right now is lawful. If we don't like the law, we need to change it. Again, this goes back to the concept. We are supposed to be a nation of laws, not of men. Man, we make the laws, but we have to follow them. Anyway, yeah, it's being said, I don't like the fact that Congress, I don't think that they have any business doing that. But I also think that we put ourselves in a bad position. You think about this for a second. It's like, you know, all the stuff that moves on the rail and all the freight, not just that. We talked about the poop. That's right. New York City poop that gets shipped out of New York to some landfill in Alabama. What about oil? Energy. We don't build pipelines here in the United States. You want another piece of bad legislation? The Jones Act. And we talked about that ad nauseum here on the program. We got a lot of bad rules and laws. We don't have any alternatives to rail in some cases. And that's, again, that's stupid. Not having options. Anyway. Yeah, another one too. I honestly can't freaking believe it. Well, they were doing a piece, if you missed it, on Fox last Friday on ESG investing. And as you well know, well, my thoughts on the entire thing, we've covered it ad nauseum. And I went off on a rant about this on the program, and I cracking a joke. You know, I said, I don't give a darn. I'm not, when I'm investing in companies, I don't care how many LSBTQRSs are on the board of directors. I saw Maria Bartiromo started grinning when I said it. I was like, oh boy, I'm going to probably get hit on that. Not that I care, but I figured my email box would be flooded with nasty messages. It wasn't. I got kudos for it. But, you know, energy, it's true. It's true. You might be, I don't even know what some of these, I'll be honest, I don't even know what some of these things mean that they call as the intersexes, all these, I don't even know what they mean because I don't give a shit. Okay. Can you get the job done? Period. Are you qualified? Are you going to help my business grow? Help my clients? There's some things that I care about. Who in God's creation you want to sleep with, I can give a shit about. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Your color doesn't matter. None of that matters to me. Merit matters to me. And that's all that should matter when it comes to investing. Yet here you go. You got the Biden administration going in and messing around with ERISA. Yeah, the entire employee retirement. I forget. What is it? Investment, income, Securities Act of 1974. I forgot what the acronym was there for a second. But anyway, messing around with ERISA. And why? Why? It's a get out of jail free card for bad advisors. That's all it is. Okay. Are you managing your clients' risk? Are you doing the right thing by your clients? Are you putting their interests first? That's all that matters. It's all that matters. Now, if a client came to me, somebody came on board, you know what? I'll take you on a side story. This is worthy. We got a call. This is five, six years ago. We help out advisors around their country with their succession plan. The SEC requires that you have to have a succession plan who's going to take over your business. And we help with this and we interview and we set up programs and plans to help these advisors out where we slowly but surely start handling their clients as well. So we get calls all the time. People want to work with us and we have to do our due diligence and we have to interview them. So there's one up in Buffalo, New York, and I go up there and I meet with this guy, and I'm looking at the way that they're doing it. All in ESG crap. And, you know, he was, you know, this is the way we do things. This is the way we have. And I'm like, and the performance was most surely was lacking. It was lacking. And I was, you know, this is not what I do. So, but this is what our clients want. Okay. Okay. That's what your clients want. Fine. But I'm not going to do for it. I'm not going to be involved with losing people money. If I have a client that says, hey, this is how I want to invest. Okay. That's fine. Okay. I can introduce you to an ESG advisor. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I can go back to the freaking 1990s with all these dot-coms. Like clients call them, Chris, you're too conservative. Before you got to get more aggressive and all these dot-com things that I knew were going to collapse. And we lost business. We lost clients because I said, we're not going to do it. Go somewhere else. If you think you know better, if you think you can trade all of this stuff, not going to do it. Anyway, another topic. Obviously, we talked about it was Jobs Friday. So, yeah, we had the Brady. I mean, you talk about a Brady Bunch box. I think there was probably eight of us. Eight of us in boxes talking about the jobs number that came in a little bit hotter than expected. Whatever. A quick story, anecdote. So I'm in North Carolina. And going out, you know, I was tired to a restaurant with some people next door to our hotel. And going to the restaurant, and it's, you know, Friday night, Saturday night. Half the restaurant shut down. Half the restaurant is shut down. They don't have the staff to seat people and deal with them. I was, again, never ends the signs I see. Please bear with us. Staffing shortages here, there, and everywhere. They're here. People, again, you know, there's, if you want to get a job here in this country, you can get one. Nobody, again, a lot of these economists said they still don't know how to calculate a lot of this stuff that's going on. Listen, handouts and giveaways, I think, have kept some people out of the workforce for a period of time. Certain states out there with their very, very, I call it generous, I call it ludicrous, not generous, ludicrous unemployment programs. Why work? Why work if a couple can, you know, get upwards of $75,000? Why work? I have to do that. But certain people, they could care less. Happy to, you know, take their $75,000 in government benefits and, you know, binge watch Netflix. Again, not me, but it's obviously a problem here in this country. I do think there's an issue with the report as well in regards to the volume of, I want to call it gig jobs that people are engaging in, a myriad of them here and there. I think the government is having a difficult time tracking some of that. But yeah, we need more workers. We do. And it really bothers me that, you know, that the Republican Party, you know, they can't rally behind a plan where, guess what? We're going to start upping immigration here into this country, legal immigration, and start dealing with the problem at hand. We have to. The Fed can't, and again, Jay Powell alluded to this in his statement, he can't fix this unless you blow the whole freaking economy up. You remember his songs back, you know, when the economy wasn't as strong. There's a myriad of times, you know, job market wasn't strong. You had songs by Sade and Tracy Chapman about, you know, not being able to find work. We live in a country where if you want to get a job, you can get a job. I'm so sick and freaking tired of hearing jobs that Americans won't do. It pisses me off. Yeah, and a lot of these kids getting fired from tech jobs, I mean, they're going to have to find something to do. Their benefits are going to run out. Their severance is going to run out. They're going to have to find something to do. I mean, get back into the workforce. Contribute. And I yelled at parents. Hey, parents, get your lazy kid at home in the basement playing video games. Kick their ass out, for crying out loud. Senate Republicans, again, I'm glad to see this. It was a concern of mine. We talked about lame duck Congress demanding McConnell only accept a short-term spending bill.
Good.
You don't want an omnibus spending bill right now. I don't know why in the world they want to do that, unless, you know, he's doing giveaways to some of these people that are going to be retiring and all sorts of pork that they can pull in. People, we got a freaking spending problem, and it's not getting better. It's not. You know, Biden touting the fact, oh, deficits come down. It's because COVID money has gone away. It's the only reason why it's come down. Is our debt continuing to grow? Yes, it is. How are you spiking a freaking football when our debt is continuing to grow and you continue to collect record tax revenues? It's pathetic. It really is. Quickly on this. First and foremost, it's getting... temperatures come up a little bit over the past 24 hours when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. There was a couple of Russian air bases that were hit inside of Russia. And they don't know how they were hit. They don't know if it was a drone attack, whatever it may be. And Russia's now obviously firing back heavily at civilian targets inside the Ukraine. We also had the fact that the European Union has put a $60 price cap on oil. Now, Russia's come out and said, hey, we're going to just stop selling it to you then. I doubt it. They're going to keep selling it. Russia produces their oil anywhere between $20 to $50 a barrel, depending on where. That's their cost. So they're still making money. They've been selling oil to China, even though China's consumption is well off. We mentioned that here on the program. It's been like three decades. It's well off because guess what? Their economy's sputtering, but they're buying oil from Russia at a 40% discount. India's buying oil at a 40% discount. And if you think those are the other only two, you're crazy. You know, North Korea is. You know, there's probably a myriad of places around the globe that are doing the same damn thing. And we mentioned this and we warned about this. Russia's looking to buy up old, it's like a used car, used oil tankers to start shipping the stuff themselves to places that are willing to buy it. And make no bounds, bones about it. It's the people are going to buy it at a 40% discount. You know, you're going to take advantage of that. You know, or a dictator, despot, or, you know, a leader in some poor country somewhere, and you can all of a sudden give price breaks when it comes to energy, you're going to do it. Anyway, again, the fact that we've paused when it coming to be energy independent, we've gone in the opposite direction. It's just not a smart thing, people. The opportunity that we have right now, I mean, you got to fully grasp what's going on. I mean, businesses are going to want to come here. You know, they want to come here. They're going to want to have cheap energy. They want to be able to build their products. And obviously, we need a workforce. We have to start educating. We got to get people out into that workforce again. We want to talk about real wealth being built here in the United States. For how many years everybody was complaining about offshoring jobs, China, all these other places? We can onshore them now, if we're smart. Anyway, have a great day. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is our site. Sign up for our personal CFO program. All sorts of great stuff there. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. God bless.